Well, it is a pleasure to be with you tonight. I'd like to start off by thanking Reverend Patterson and the session for the invitation to be here tonight. It is a joy to be able to tell you what the Lord has done for me. I thank the Lord that I have a testimony to give, and I would like to tonight really testify of how the Lord saved me, how the Lord called me, and how the Lord has used me and led me in recent years. I suppose you could say that I had a privileged upbringing. I grew up attending the Bangor Independent Christian School. As a family, we attended the Newton Arch Free Presbyterian Church, and I was sent along faithfully to the Sunday School and to the children's meetings. I thank the Lord that my conversion was early in life. The Lord used a childhood friend to speak to me of my need of the Saviour. It was just before my sixth birthday. I remember the farm. There were four of us that used to play together after school, and I remember the Lord using one of those boys to speak to me about my need of the Saviour. I don't remember what he said. I don't remember what was it about him that made a difference, but I remember realizing that because I was a sinner, I needed to be saved. I remember being in the kitchen and sitting on the kitchen worktop being counselled by my friend's mother. I remember later that night putting my trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. I remember the joy and the peace of knowing that I would go to heaven, and as I understood it then, one day spend eternity with our Saviour. As I grew up and entered my early teens, I suppose I got to the stage where I had the desire to read the Bible for myself. To my shame, though, as I read truth, I failed to live out what I knew to be right. I lived the way that I wanted, and I sought happiness in the things of this world. And when I had finished my full-time studies, I ended up choosing a full-time job in construction. Thankfully, I was still attending church, and thankfully, I was still reading my Bible. But sadly, God wasn't first in my life. I had set my focus on the things of this world, things like a career, a nice car, and the hope of one day having a nice home. Now working and earning money, I had even more opportunity to chase after the things that I wanted. Having my own money meant that I had more freedom to do what I liked, and so I started to combine my love for cars with the desire to make money. In the evenings, I spent much of my time looking for cars to buy and sell, and in an 18-month period, I bought and sold privately somewhere close to about 30 or so cars. By the time that I was 25, I had been running my own business as a handyman for a few years. I had my work van, I had two sports cars in my parents' driveway for fun, and I also had a motorbike. And all seemed to be going fine, but the reality was totally different. Work had started to dry up, the toys had to go, and it was then in my mid-20s that the Lord really showed me my selfishness. I hadn't been living for Him. I had been living for the things I hoped would make me happy, and I had largely been praying for the things that I hoped would make me happy. When I think back now, I realize that I was even asking the Lord for those things to be His will for my life, and He showed me the lack of love that I had had for Him, and He effectively brought me to my knees in tears. In Northern Ireland, we kind of pretend that grown men don't cry, but I remember at different times weeping because I truly felt like life had no purpose. I had earned all these things, but the truth was none of them were making me happy. As the cars, the business, and my dreams all disappeared one by one, it didn't really bother me that much. It wasn't the loss of the things that bothered me. I was just so convicted how empty they had made me feel. I was convicted about how I had been putting them before God, and I was convicted that I shouldn't be seeking my joy in the things of this world. And for the first time, I truly understood what the Apostle Paul meant in Philippians 3, verse 8, when he said, "I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ." Everything was now but loss for me. This word loss here in Philippians has this emphasis of that which is a bad deal. And I knew I had chosen the bad deal. Here I was living to find joy in the wrong things. And let me tell you, there was no joy, because the happiness that I did find in them was always short-lived. The flesh always wanted something bigger and better. But Paul continues in Philippians 3, verse 8, and he says, he counts the things of this world as dung. And well, the word for dung in the Greek has the emphasis of that which is good for nothing. Something which is only really fit for being thrown away. And I remember thinking everything that I was living for was useless. It had no eternal value. It wouldn't matter how many nice cars I had or what house I might one day own or how well I succeeded in my career. If I was not living for the glory of God, it was in vain. And so as I thought about one day standing before God and having to give an account for what I have done for him, I could imagine standing there empty-handed. And the thought of that filled me with shame. And living for the things of this world really was that bad deal. And so as I started to let it all go and started putting God first, I truly had more peace and joy than I ever had with the things that I had worked so hard to achieve. And now thinking about the things of eternity, having contemplated what I was living for, I knew the Lord was changing me. I started to help out at the youth work in church, something that I hadn't previously been doing. And then I started to attend the midweek prayer meeting. And about a year later, the Lord started to challenge me with short-term missions. It was one of those missionary nights at the prayer meeting. Our brother Norman McCready came, and all I really remember about what he said was that he was challenging us to live for the Lord. And you know, I knew before the meeting was over that the Lord wanted me to use my practical skills on a mission trip. Such was the challenge and the hand of the Lord working on my life that night. I knew I had to go on the next possible trip, or I would have been disobedient to the Lord's leading. I was so convinced the Lord wanted me to go on a trip that on my way out of the meeting, I told Norman that I was willing to go on the first trip that he could arrange to get me on. I think I sort of shocked him a little bit because he said, "Oh, no, 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 you need to maybe pray about it for a while. Go home." But I knew deep down I had to go, and so I said, "Well, I'll ring you tomorrow, but the answer will still be the same." You see, I had no doubt that this was what the Lord wanted for me to do. I knew there was urgency on my heart, and I knew the Lord didn't want me to go in 6 months' time. He wanted me to go on the next one that was possible, and I didn't know how that was going to work because it was already December, and all the trips that Norman had mentioned in the meeting were the following summer. But the Lord, of course, had his sovereign hand over everything. And Norman was able to get me on a trip in, I think it was less than 3 weeks. And off we went to Burkina Faso in Africa. We worked for a couple of weeks, maybe. And before we came home, all I knew was that the Lord was burdening me with the desire to do more. I knew that helping out only for a few weeks in the year wasn't God's plan. And so I started to pray about what the Lord would have me do longer term. The thoughts going through my head were, "I'm just a handyman. How will the Lord use me?" I went on a few more short-term mission trips in the consecutive months, and you know, it never really felt like enough. I just knew the Lord was challenging me to serve him full time. And he used verses that I had learned as a child. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not on thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." And you know, I want to encourage all parents, all grandparents, or all Sunday school teachers here tonight. If you teach God's word to children, keep teaching truth, because he will use it for his name's sake. And it wasn't long before Norman encouraged me to go over to a conference that New Tribes Mission was holding. And during that weekend conference, I was really presented with the need for practical workers with New Tribes Mission. There was a need for a builder in Papua New Guinea, and so I applied for it. I was accepted, and the visa was sent for. But 6 weeks later, the visa was rejected. And at the time, no one could understand why the Lord had closed the door. But you know, the Lord makes no mistakes. Looking back, I believe the Lord was challenging me. Was I willing to go to what was likely one of the furthest places on this earth to serve him? And when he got me to the place where I was willing to go, then he opened the door to the destination of his choice. And Isaiah 55 verse 8 says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, Neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. And I can truly say that his plans are much better than anything we could ever imagine or think. I stand here tonight not just as a living example that God saves sinners, but that God transforms lives and that God uses the weak things. Now challenged into full-time service, I ended up working with New Tribes Mission for 2 years. I worked full-time for the Lord as a builder, firstly in the Philippines, and then he took me to Papua New Guinea anyway. They were good times, they were hard times, and they were blessed times. I got the opportunity to serve the Lord in some of the remotest parts of this world, sometimes going where white men hadn't even gone before. I can truly say I never imagined children coming up to me and squeezing me or licking their finger and wiping me to see if the white man was real or painted. I never imagined having to wash in rivers or live in tents or watch out for pirates on the sea or having to hike through the jungle to find other villages. I never imagined building mission houses in tribal locations. I never imagined playing football or basketball with people who didn't even own a pair of shoes. I never imagined traveling the globe to help missionaries take the gospel to the remotest parts of this world. But you know, today I can say praise the Lord for what he has done. He is building his church, and today there are souls saved in one of the tribal locations that I got an opportunity to build a medical clinic and a mission house. And looking back, all I can say is that it really is our privilege to be a part of his work. Spurgeon once said, if God calls you to be a preacher, don't stoop to be a king. And the same goes for those of us who are saved tonight. We have the greatest opportunity to be a part of the Lord's work. And if I was to ask you a question tonight, what is man's chief end? You would probably all know that man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. Well, younger person, older person, if you're saved tonight, I want to challenge you, are you seeking to glorify God? When I first asked myself that question, I had to look up what the word glorify actually meant. You see, I couldn't glorify God if I didn't know what the word meant. But it means this. It means to know God and to make God known. If you're saved tonight, I want to ask you, are you seeking to know God and to make God known? If you're saved tonight, you and I, we are missionaries. What is a missionary? A missionary is one who is sent on a mission. And your mission, just like mine, is to know God and to make God known. You, just like me, have been saved to serve. And your mission field tonight may not be Uganda. It may not be some foreign field. But it is here in your home. It is here in your place of work or school. And it is here with your brothers and sisters in this community. If you're not saved, I stand here tonight not because of anything that I have done, but because of what God has done for me and in me. You see, sin has a cost. Sin has a debt that must be paid. And God loved me so much, he sent his Son to die on the cross that my sin might be washed away. You see, Jesus loving me so much, he paid for the price of my sin. And now I can say with joy in my heart that he is mine and I am his. I can say I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. But what about you tonight? Can you say that you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? That Christ is your substitute and you will go to heaven because your sins are forgiven? Can you say that you have trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ? When you go to the supermarket, quite often certain items seem the same. So you lift them up and you read their description. You see, the description tells you all that you need to know. Well, can I ask you tonight, what would your description say? Would it say believer or would it say unbeliever? You see, it matters a great deal. It's a matter of life and death. Scripture says, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. The person that believes and puts their trust in the Savior is the believer. But if you're not saved tonight and you don't have your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, then friend, you're not saved from an eternity in hell. You're an unbeliever. And it gives me no pleasure to talk of hell tonight, but the truth is, no amount of good works will be enough to get you to heaven. Scripture says that our best is but filthy rags. But let me tell you that there is good news tonight. There is a way by which you can get to heaven. Scripture says in John 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And that I am refers to Jesus. And friend, I say it again, Jesus is the only way. If you know not Christ tonight, then I plead with you to get right with God while he may be found. Each one in here that is saved can testify of God's saving love. Each one in here that is saved can truly say that they would not trade their soul for anything else in this life. And Scripture says in Mark 8, verse 36, "For what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul?" My friend, don't throw away what will last for an eternity for what here on this earth may only last for a few moments. I urge you to come tonight before it may be too late. For the believer in here who is maybe thinking about being in the centre of God's will and knowing that they are living for the Lord, I ask you tonight, have you asked the Lord what he wants to do with your life? Would you be willing to go to Bible school if he challenged you to do so? Would you be willing to give up the things that you hold so dear to serve the Lord full time? It is easy to sing the song, "I surrender all," and yet not truly mean it in your heart. The Lord's will may be that you stay exactly where you are. And praise the Lord if that's the case. I'm sure there are many in here tonight that would have already asked the Lord for his leading, for opportunities to serve him, and he has answered those prayers. But if there is anyone in here tonight and you haven't, can I challenge you to earnestly seek the Lord's face for his will for your life? You never will regret it. The joy of living in the centre of God's will is like nothing else. And when I left this land 6 years ago to serve the Lord with NTM, there was one thing on my mind, which to my shame was that I did not want to go to Bible school. I had done my time in school, and I didn't ever really love school. The best part was whenever the bell rang and it was time to go home. But you know, the Lord had to take me one step at a time. And over the period of time that I was away, the Lord brought me to the point where I had the desire to go to Bible school. So I came home from Papua New Guinea 3 years ago, and I can genuinely say that it was and is the greatest privilege to be able to go to Bible school. To have the opportunity to learn more about the Lord, it really is a privilege. To not just know more about the Lord in an intellectual way, but to really see and understand more of the love and plan that God had and has for us is an experience that changes your life. I got the opportunity to attend Bible school for 2 years with New Tribes Mission, and I learned much about the Lord and his word in the first year. In my second year, the teaching was more about being prepared for the mission field, and I know it will be of tremendous value in the years that lie ahead. But while I was studying with NTM, in the first year I knew that the Lord was closing the door. But while he was closing one door, he was opening another. I was at home for the Easter holidays. I went along to the Easter convention 2 years ago, and I was challenged about the Uganda work. The work was something new for our denomination, and at the time I wasn't sure what the mission board's plan was. I didn't know if they would have any need for someone like myself, and so I ended up praying about it for a few months before speaking to anyone about the challenge the Lord had given me. Long story short, I met up with our mission board chairman, and the decision was taken that I would finish my studies at NTM and then return home to meet the mission board a year later. After meeting with the board, the decision was taken that I would do deputation for a year and also attend a few classes at the Whitfield College of the Bible. So that is where I'm at right now. The year is almost over. As students, we have our exams in the next few weeks, and I can honestly tell you, for me, it will feel like Christmas when this last part of the school year is over. I don't know if anyone really enjoys exams, but I can tell you I don't, and so I'll be glad as soon as they're over. I would appreciate your prayers for this final part of the year. It's not easy to balance deputation while studying for the exams, but I would appreciate your prayers, and you know, for that we would even be kept safe on the road. Simple things, and that I would be able to do my best, even with the time that I do have to study, and that I would also meet all my deputation requirements. After the exams are over, I still have meetings for the rest of the year up until September, and hopefully whenever all the money is raised, then the decision will be taken with regards to my departure date. It's always the most popular question everyone asks me, and when are you leaving? And often I think I smell or something, because it's like everyone seems to say it, but it's one of those things, and the decision will be made after all the meetings have been done in September. But I can tell you, I can't wait to go. I love serving the Lord in a practical way, and I just can't wait to get back to it. Uganda is a unique challenge. Every work has its own unique set of issues, and well, I'll tell you about those in a few minutes. I'll just hand back over to Reverend Patterson.